Across the street, so, Sir Mahmoud.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. To begin with, allow me to thank the United Nations and the government of Switzerland for their invitation to address this gathering on this most important and urgent of topics. The question of violent extremism and the ways to address it, preventing it, countering it, and most importantly, understanding it, has in recent years shot at the top of the agenda of global affairs, impacting societies and hijacking a place at the center of international relations. If then the issue is in need of refined policy thinking and well-crafted operational planning, it is also in and of itself still a subject of further active inquiry. For what is violent extremism and how can we, with a measure of accuracy, delimit its contours so as to proceed with some efficiency to address its impact? To be clear on this first point, violent extremism can arguably only be placed at the center of international affairs and located at the heart of policy making if it is a clearly and objectively delineated activity and well understood set of practices. Yet for all of its newfound momentum, violent extremism is not a novel issue. Extremism, morphing into violence, has long plagued societies around the world. This was witnessed at different times throughout the 20th century, notably during the 1970s. Yet in the past three decades, as we, in different regions, but also together as a global community, moved not so seamlessly from one transition era to the other, post-Cold War, post-9/11, post-Arab Spring, we have undeniably seen extremism manifest itself ever more lethally, ever more violently, more regularly, and more widely. It is precisely here that we should both start to locate such a discussion, namely the global nature of this challenge. Violent extremism as an issue that materializes in the midst of our societies and threatens all equally, not merely some in certain parts of the world. And placing emphasis on this dimension is fundamental because debates can and policies can easily become skewed about a particular origin, whether geographic, cultural, religious, or social. For instance, too often, many say violent extremism only to mean Islamist violent extremism, which is what but incarnation of the problem. A second proposition is that violent extremism itself is a determination that helps us target a sequence of an evolution towards a place, extremism, which is then unpacked into a behavior, violence. What then specifically can be identified as the drivers of this violence? There is much fluidity, as has been pointed, and there is a multiplicity and interchangeability of causes, but we can begin to roughly distinguish three main baskets of drivers that tend to recur: alienation, retribution, and dispossession. The first set of causalities locates violent extremism in a process of alienation, experiencing estrangement or isolating themselves, individuals or groups move to build resentment. As a result, the actors come to see non-violent engagement to remedy their situation as no longer an option. And here we can read the resulting violence as a byproduct of privation. The second group of factors revolves around matters of revenge. In this configuration, alienation is transcended. What can be observed is the materialization of a defiance logic that gradually takes the form of a focused, cumulative, and incremental commitment to violence. The key element here is that humiliation can inflame grievances, and from that base, actors move towards withdrawal spaces from which violence is plotted and in time enacted. A final set of triggers is to be found in issues of dispossession. The extremist violent to be comes to occupy a place where the loss or the taking away feeds hatred. A key element in this case is that invariably, the extremist seeks a legitimizing ideology. And in other words, individuals come to embrace violent actions rationalized by variegated radicalized social imperatives. On their own, alienation, retribution, and dispossession need not necessarily lead to extremism, obviously, much less to violence. It is rather the sequence building up to a moment of rupture that defines the extremism. Similarly, and I must insist on this, it is the manner in which the larger social context relates to those conditions, enabling them or thwarting them, that is equally defining. And these three conditions can materialize in all societies, from transitioning Tunis or Kiev, to war-torn Mogadishu or Benghazi, to affluent Oslo, Paris, or London. It is therefore important not to indulge the reductionist perspective that paints an easy picture of the extremist as depressed, disturbed, or clinically psychotic. They may or may not be. And in the same vein, poverty and poor education have often been linked to radicalization, but that case has also been sometimes overstated, and research demonstrates that it has a weak predictive capacity. Finally, we must decouple the relationship between religion and extremism. The instrumentalization of religion by violent extremism, however widespread currently, is just that, the manipulation of a given faith for sociopolitical purposes. Political alienation, social disempowerment, and economic dispossession materialize more often than not to be subverted through a radicalization process. Above and beyond, we must come to terms with the fact that extremism is never displayed unilaterally by the extremist actor. It is often the failure of a society, or indeed the acts of a state, that can create the conditions for these ills to materialize. Mr. Chairman, in the final analysis, violent extremism remains befuddling because it operates at different levels, interconnected levels, and is ultimately two things in one, extremism and violence by way of reinforcement stations. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, to understand and explain the abhorrent is not to justify it. It is merely to better grasp in a scientifically informed manner its manifestations, to be able to address them with greater chances of dividing more intelligent responses, which includes paths away from this violence. Irrespective of their causalities, acts of violence are never acceptable. Making sense of their causes helps us ultimately deter them.